Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this honor and opportunity to sow into eternal things, Father, that you've put eternity in man's hearts. And how can people come to you unless you draw them first? So, Father, we pray that you just start to draw the hearts that you have predestined, that you have seen from long time ago, that people have done this life in the dregs, in the trenches, and they have been looking for the life of the world, for the light in the darkness, and it is only you, Jesus. So we thank you, Father, as you draw people to you, as we lift up the Son of Man, that you will draw all men unto you, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. In case you're wondering, I'm not a Calvinist. It's just part of Scripture. For those of you theology heads, God will rule and reign in this place as we lift up his name. Amen. I have heard Phil. Are you here for Solomon's? Phil, mighty man of God. He was telling me yesterday. Oh, by the way, if you helped out in the working bee yesterday, can I just get you to quickly stand up? There's some more in the morning as well. Just stand up. We want to be able to say thank you and honor you for your time given up yesterday in serving, getting the house in order for our 10th birthday celebrations. In fact, I think Nigel and Richelle, I was checking security cameras, you were here until 11 p.m., you crazy couple. Here putting together the frames that's going to have some nice decorations for our birthday celebrations. We've painted the front, so it's actually got the right dimensions and building looks bigger. Chairs are clean, windows are clean. It feels like a new building, but we need more space, especially in the morning service. Amen. So keep praying with us. But, you know, God is doing something amazing. Phil told me yesterday as we were going to the tip, doing a tip run, chucking things out, that, you know, I love his heart for the lost. He's working for a man. Who knows Sidetrack in Oakley? Who knows the go-karts, laser wars? I had my 10th birthday there amongst my friends. The guy who owned that, sold it recently, Phil, is working on his house in a nearby suburb. He brings him to church. I only found out yesterday, this man, a hero to many of us who've done go-karting and laser wars throughout our years as kids, gave his heart to Jesus at this altar 2 weeks ago. Phil also, it was the matriarch of the family, witnessed to this lady, gave her flowers, and did you say it was four family members? Three family members. Two family members and two friends as a result of the obedience to the Spirit of God to say, give this gift, it'll open a door. They found themselves here at this altar getting saved. So people are getting saved in this church, praise God, on a weekly basis. We have seven people getting saved this morning. And this is without our 10-year revival service beginning. This is just the life of Fire Church, and we are so honored to do what we do. And tonight, I have an amazing word. I say that humbly because I received a lot from God as I prepared this. So please don't leave early. This word will bless you abundantly. If we turn to the screens, as we look unto Jesus, the bread of life today, I've got a lot of scripture to unpack. Is that okay with you all? So let's read. Yeah. John 6, 30 to 35. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread. Everyone say true bread. True bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Father, thank you for this word that you've prepared. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Just arrange my words, arrange my thoughts, and help me to preach your word that will bring transformation and salvation tonight in your house. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. We find ourselves tonight in John 6 looking at Jesus declaring that he is the bread of life. He refers to a reference in the Jewish culture of a story that once represented bread that came down from heaven in the form of manna when Moses was leading the Israelites out of captivity of slavery into the wilderness to worship the one and only true God on the way to the promised land. But we know that that generation didn't enter into the promised land because they grumbled against God, they grumbled against Moses, and they lacked the faith to enter in. But nevertheless, God is that good that he provided bread from heaven. And when this mist was on the area where they were camping, it was cold. They asked, what is it? It translates to manna, bread. What is it? Manna. And so Jesus is referring to something that they know about. And this manna, there was specific instructions given to the people of God under Moses' leadership that you shall collect enough for that day. But don't store more than that you need for that day. Otherwise, it will go rotten the next day. In fact, some people didn't heed this word. They thought, you know what, I'm just going to be efficient. I'm going to be super smart and collect enough manna, bread, for the next day. But sure enough, as they were warned, they woke up to this bread with maggots. Exodus 16 says also, the sun shall rise up and throughout the day, the sun will burn the bread on the ground. This is what Exodus 16 is saying. Don't rely on yesterday's word for you to live your life today. And don't wait too long to get the word of God in you to start your day. Don't wait until the heat of life gets on you to realize I actually needed the word of God from the moment that I woke up. I needed the presence of God. I need to worship God. From the moment that I opened my eyes, don't wait for the heat of life to say, you're a little bit late in your provision today. You're on your own. God has put together a template found in Exodus 13 that the Christian life is a life that is requiring of daily dependence towards God. The Christian life means that we are daily depending on Jesus, the bread of life. That as a disciple of Jesus, you may not know exactly what's going to happen 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, but you can know and be rest assured that he will meet you on a daily. He requires your daily attention, your daily dependence on him. Amen? So John 6, we kick it off there, but I want to rewind a little bit. Let's go to John 1 because I want to set it up just the way that John did to show the deity, the power of Jesus. Because often we can have a misaligned image and picture of Jesus, especially on Christmas. We have this at home ourselves, these little ornaments of the wise men, Mary, Joseph, the little sheep, and you got little baby Jesus in his manger. And sometimes we put Jesus in a box and think he's just this nice religious figure, baby Jesus, oh sweet baby Jesus, we thank you for this food today. Blessed to our bodies, amen. And we leave him at that. We forget who he really is. And so let's set it up in John 1. It says, I'm going to rewind a little bit further, in verse 3, John 1 verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. This is Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then we pick it up in verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son. Everyone say this with me. Who is himself God? Jesus is himself who? God. We see here that Jesus walked the earth fully as man and fully as God. Who he is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. has made him known. This is the Jesus that we're talking about, not this little figurine Jesus in Christmas that we put out on display. This is Jesus, God himself. Let's go to John 2. I'm just going to give a little bit more of a glance on who Jesus is. According to the book of John, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. Jesus, his very first public ministry miracle was turning water into wine. At this point, at a wedding in Cana, they had run out of wine, and the person who was in charge of the wedding took dip of the wine that Jesus had turned from water into wine, and he drank it, and he realized, this is actually the best drop I've ever had. The disciples knew where did this come from. This is the drop from eternity 00, matured in its finest form, the creator of heaven and earth brewing his own wine. Jesus on display now to show that he is the life of the party. There ain't no party like a Jesus Christ party, because a Jesus Christ party don't stop. Amen? He is the life of the party. He is the life of the world. So we go to John 3. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Do you remember back in, I think it was Numbers 21, that the Israelites, who I just referenced to, grumbled against God, grumbled against Moses. In fact, they spat in God's face effectively by saying, we were better off in Egypt, in the land of slavery, because there we could eat meat, we could have garlic, we could have onions. Lee Wong loves onions. No, he doesn't. That's a story for another time. Literally, the only Asian I know who doesn't like onions. It's in every stir fry. But they were grumbling against God and Moses, saying Egypt was better for us. And because of their grumbling, God sent serpents to bite these people who lacked faith and grumbled and complained. After all God had taken them out of, we find that there was this curse on them. But then God had also set up a remedy. He said, put on a pole, a bronze snake, and that anyone that looks at it shall be healed and cured. Jesus is saying now that he is that snake. In the Greek, the word where it says Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. It's not this pedestrian, let's lift up Jesus, the cross, let's just lift him up in the air. In the Greek, it actually means to exalt him, to exalt Jesus for who he really is. He is the Son of God, that he is also God himself. This is the Jesus that we serve. Let's go to John 4:13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is talking to this Samaritan woman at the well, where women in those days would normally come out early before the heat of the day. Remember the heat of the day that would burn up the bread, the manna. But this woman lived in shame. And Jesus was interacting with this woman and was introducing himself first time to a Gentile. And he says to this woman, can you get me a drink? And he there's this exchange. And he says, I am the living water. And he gives a bit of a clue that he is actually the savior of the world. Because he says, come and get your husband. She goes, no, I don't live with my husband. And Jesus says, rightly, in fact, no, you've had five husbands. And the man that you're living with now is not your husband. She realizes this is more than just a man. She realizes this is more than just a prophet when Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah. He's saying, stop drinking from the well that doesn't satisfy you. The issue isn't so much the sin that is in you, but the well that you're trying to drink from, the well that you think will satisfy you. Jesus comes as the seventh man, saying, I am the perfect one that will fulfill all your needs and all your desires. I am the seventh man, and you've come just at the right time. And so this woman drops everything. She drops her bucket and runs back to Samaria and says, I have met the one that my heart has been longing for. I have met the one. It says there, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Sometimes we run to different things, different areas of our life to fulfill a need only God can fulfill. Jess and I have this bad habit. I'm trying to eat good. We go to the gym. Well, I go to the gym and she eats good. She's better than me more often than not. But when we have this late night craving, we jump on Uber Eats. And in fact, I've upgraded to Uber One, where you get priority service, you order what you want, and then within 20 minutes, it's at your door. It's a miracle. And we have this craving for thick Italian hot chocolate. The Mexicans also do it. So the Italians were closed. This is late at night. It's about 9:30. So we saw this Mexican restaurant. Yes, that's the one. It arrives at our door. We have a sip. Oh, it's not thick. It's not what we needed. We just had this craving. And sometimes we settle for what's right now and what's right there. It doesn't make it right. It just makes it right now. Jesus is saying to this woman at the well, you've had your shot at life. Will you now consider me? The wellspring of life, the river of life. I've read front to back of this, but tonight I reread a little bit of the end. It talks about a river of life. Friends, we're on the winning team. You're on the winning side. Life may not look like it says you're on the winning side, but you are on the winning side if you continue to persevere and overcome. And then we find ourselves here, John 6. I was going to skip to John 6. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I don't know why I missed that. But Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. For 38 years, this man who was crippled would see, the Bible says, once a year an angel will come to the waters and stir, and the first person to touch the waters would be healed. He would see year after year after year his own miracle passing by him. Jesus now comes and says, be healed, pick up your mat and walk. This is the Jesus that we serve. That no matter how long that you felt that you've been missing out, Jesus comes at the right time to say, pick up your mat and walk. And so he gathers this large following and this crowd of 5,000 men. Scholars believe with women and children, it numbered to about 20,000 people. In John 6, Jesus had compassion and he looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Can I say to you tonight, God already has in mind what he wants to do in that very thing you find yourself stuck in that very thing that you find a lack of provision in that challenge that you find in your life. God engages you in a question, what shall we do? He's looking to see what's in your heart. He's looking to see, do you depend on him? Do you really know the person that you're asking, the power that he carries, or are we going to do things in our own strength? Let's go to the next part. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for everyone to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Jesus is waiting for us to say, look, I've got something to offer you within my hand. Sometimes we say to God, maybe when I have more money, I'll give to him. Sometimes we say to God, maybe if I found the right partner, I'll serve God. Maybe if I find the right job, I'll do something a bit more significant for God. God is just looking for what's available right here, right now, in front of you. He said to Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Go in the strength that you currently have now, and I will meet you with my strength. Matt Bawley, one of our interns, pushed through his flu and spread it amongst all the interns this week. No, he didn't. He was past his contagious phase, but he had 2 days of sleeping at home. I think I maybe passed my flu to you last Sunday. I was so foggy last Sunday. And I don't think I was contagious, but anyways, he pushed through and he brought this amazing word. We let the interns choose the worship and he put on shackles. Mary, Mary, take the shackles off my feet. And you just see Matt boogieing at the front, boogieing his sickness away. And then he brings this word. If you would do the possible, God will do the impossible. If you just come with the possibility of what you can do, God will meet you with his impossible power. Amen. And so it is with this story with the boy with the 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. Jesus is waiting for us to apply what is in our hands. He's saying, don't wait any longer. Don't wait for the perfect conditions. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it says, yes, sow into 7 ventures, yes, 8. But those who look to the clouds will never sow. Those who look for perfect conditions will never start. Do you have an idea in business? Do you have an idea in your workplace? But you're too worried, too afraid of how the market looks, of how your bosses might respond, how your colleagues might think about you. But he's saying, don't wait any longer. Go in the strength you have. Do the possible and God will meet you with the impossible. Amen. You know what I love about this story? Every person that was there was fed. Further on in the same chapter, the Bible says that there was 12 basketfuls of leftovers. 12 disciples who Jesus was training to understand the miraculous working power to show that he is the God of not just the enough, but he is the God of more than enough. He is our God of more than enough. He isn't just a skimpy, stingy God. He is a generous, more than enough God. He's able to do more than you ask, think, or imagine according to the power working within you. Yet sometimes we limit him in our thinking, in our thoughts. We look around and realize, maybe I can't. God is breaking and shattering some mindsets about who he is tonight. Amen? Then we get to John 6, the next one. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them, a strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that's about 5 or 6 kilometers, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, I need a bit of help. Can someone help me bring this up to the stage, please? The whole thing. Thank you, Norman. He had to withdraw himself because these people realized this guy carries some power. There's something different about him. And we want to crown him as king. He's already king. But they wanted to crown him as this king who they thought would overthrow the Roman Empire, free them from their captivity and the rule of the Romans. But Jesus didn't come to overthrow a kingdom. He came to overtake our hearts. Amen. So he had to withdraw. And his disciples got in a boat. I need someone else to just reach behind here. Thanks, Norman. There's a mop down there. Thank you so much. And the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 14, the account of this, after they fed the 5,000, it says they got in a boat and they rowed all night. And just before dawn, the storms hit and they were stuck. Do you ever feel stuck in a storm? And they couldn't go forward, they couldn't go backwards, they couldn't go sideways. The waves were crashing about them, the wind was wild. And in the fourth watch of the night, you see, in Hebrew culture, there's 3 watches, but as the Roman culture seeped in, there's 4 watches of the night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to 12 a.m., 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The Bible talks about the fourth watch of the night when Jacob wrestled an angel and saw God face to face, and he was launched into his destiny as Israel. The Bible talks about how Gideon defeated the Midianites in the fourth watch of the night. Are you being woken up in the fourth watch of the night? What storms in your life is waking you up, causing you to worry? But then rather than worrying, you see in the distance Jesus. And you ask, "If it is you, Lord, just like Peter, then let me step out in the water and meet you there." Otherwise, the Bible says they were there all night in their own strength. In their own strength, trying to get out of the storm. The winds and the waves were wild. They couldn't get out of there in their own strength. But then here comes Jesus. Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is more than just a little figurine on Christmas. He is the guy who turned the water into wine, who declares that he is God himself, who feeds the 5,000, who heals the lame, who opens the blind eyes. Now he comes, more than just a man with these miraculous powers. He is now walking on water, and these people freak out. "He is a ghost," they said. He is more than that. He created the heavens and the earth, and he holds creation, Colossians says, in the palm of his hands. This is our Jesus. And he quietens the storm in the fourth watch of the night. What storms are you going through that God needs to quiet on your behalf? Only he can do that. Amen. And there's a hammerhead shark in the Sea of Galilee. I don't know how that got there. That's our soaking pillow basket for worship. Whose hammerhead is that? Lee Wong's now. We go to the next one. Jesus 6:29. We go back to where we started. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God. Everyone, let's say this. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The word of God, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. What's the picture of Jesus you have in your heart now? What is the image of Jesus? Who is Jesus now? I hope he's more than just a little Christmas figurine. I hope you realize he is God himself. He came to the world that he created, yet his own did not recognize him, the Bible says. But slowly and surely, he's revealing himself to you tonight. He is God himself. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? Why is it that the work of God is to believe the one he sent? I believe it is this, that right believing leads to right living. Do you believe in the word of God as your instruction manual for your life? Do you believe that Jesus is the word of God, was the word of God, is the word of God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us? Do you believe that he is the fourth man in the fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to bow to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar? And as they were thrown into the flames of fire, that there was a fourth man in the fire. Do you believe that that was Jesus himself rescuing those who would say, I will remain faithful to the name of God and I will not bow down my knee to an idol? Do you believe that he was the burning bush that met Moses? Do you believe that he is the Son of God that died for our sins and our mistakes? That this man, Jesus, took on a punishment that we would not dare to take on for ourselves, let alone for another who would despise us and call us his enemies. That the Roman soldiers who whipped his back, beat him up, kicked him in the guts, punched him in the face, that he was also taking on that sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sins. Do you believe that Jesus, as he died and rose again, that God gave him the name above all names, that he exalted the name of Jesus above all names, that every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bow down to the name of Jesus, that every tribe and tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of our Father? Do you believe that he is coming back on a white horse with a name faithful and true, wearing a robe, and on the robe and on his thigh says King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that this is your Jesus? Because right believing leads to right living. He is the fourth man in the fire. He is the God that created everything, yet was willing to give it all up with a chance that he will meet you tonight. John 6, 53, 58. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Whoever feeds on Jesus, his bread, his body, and drinks his blood will live forever. Now this multitude, they start to hear these words, and it's gone from 0 to 100 all of a sudden, and they're getting weirded out. What do you mean, eat his blood, eat his body and drink his blood? He's talking about cannibalism here. He's not. He's giving a metaphor that our ancestors ate this bread that came down from heaven, yet they died. But if you would partake, we're going to do communion soon, of my bread and my blood, you shall live forever. And so the multitudes leave, and he's left with his disciples. John 6, 65 to 68 says this. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Once you've tasted and seen the goodness of God, and you've had a true taste, nothing else in this world satisfies. Even if it looks unpopular to your family that you're following God, even if it looks weird to your friends that you've known all your life, that why is this person now following God and claiming themselves to be a Christian? I pray that you would stand for God in every area and sphere of your life to say, I proudly serve my King Jesus. Because to whom shall we go? Where else shall we go? For he carries words to eternal life. The Bible says God has put eternity in every man's heart. We try and find fulfillment and satisfaction in everything else but God. But tonight, he's knocking at the door of your heart. The Bible says this in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And he who opens the door to me, I will enter in and dine with him and him with me. Have you been feasting on the world and being left unsatisfied, feeling left depressed, anxious, shortchanged, without answers? But here's Jesus tonight. And he knocks at the door of your heart. I felt tonight, before we get into communion, and Gina and some people are going to share their quick testimonies, it would be remiss of me to partake in a communion, yet have people in the room who don't believe, or have not yet rather, received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says, take this communion in a worthy manner, not in an unworthy manner where there's perhaps jealousy, bitterness, strife, or unbelief, but in a worthy manner. Have you ever tasted the goodness of our God? You might be asking for solutions, for provision. More than that, Jesus said, you need me more than anything that you need right now. I am the bread of life. Jesus tested the multitudes with this thought. Will you continue to partake of me, even if it doesn't make sense? Will you continue to trust me, even if it doesn't make any sense at all, to continue feasting on me and eating of me and being devoted to me? He's looking at our hearts. A lot of us are asking, how? But God is looking at our hearts. We're wanting the methods. How do you grow your church? How do you grow your business? How do you raise your family? We're looking at the methods, but God's looking at our motives. We want the right action to take, but he's looking at our attitudes. Why are we doing what we do? And tonight, you have an opportunity to get right with God. With everyone standing to their feet before we take communion tonight, I want to invite family into this space. And you are family, friends. You are here for a reason. Jesus said God draws people unto him. And tonight he's drawing you. If you've never known the love and the forgiveness of God, if I asked you a very honest question, which my friend, I'm so glad he asked me this question, a confronting question, but very needed. 20 years ago, he asked me, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or is it hell? Oh, that's a tough one. I had no clue. I was this Catholic boy, went to St. Bede's Mentor in year 7 to year 12, and I knew about God, but I never knew him. You see, God desires to know you and for you to know him. The Bible says, on that day, many will say, did we not prophesy? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not cast out demons? And he will say, away from me, for I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. He is the God that is omniscient. He knows everything. Yet he leaves a space for you to be known by God, to be known by him. He invites you into a relationship. It's not a religious activity that you tick once a week to say, there's my Christianity, I'm here on a Sunday. It's a daily dependence on him. It's a daily walk, a daily relationship. Jesus himself, the Bible says in John 1, is the only one who's seen the face of the Father. Yet even in that state, he continued to be devoted and close to the Father, modeling for us as Christians what it is to live this life for him and with him. So if you're in this place and you've never asked God to forgive you for your sins, the reality is the choice that we make to decline him and to step away from this option tonight is if we die tonight and we don't know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow is not promised. We say that a lot here. But MasterChef Judge Jock, I forgot his surname, forgive me, unexpectedly died just over a week ago. 46 years of age, a wife and four young kids. I'm only 8 years away from that. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Why put this any off? Why put this off any longer? If you need to get right with God, come meet us here in the front. I'd love to pray with you and invite you to a space of communion, of eating this bread and drinking the wine which represents the blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And he says, if you do this, you shall have eternal life. Is there anyone in the room right now that would like to do that? He's calling you. Yeah, don't be afraid. Thank you, brother. Is there anyone else? Let's give it up. If we have the keys going as well. Yeah. Are you right with God tonight? Are you right with God? Perhaps you were walking with the Lord and you've walked away and now you know it's time to come home. A prodigal son, you know what that means. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but you decided to go and do life your own way. And you found yourself in the pit of life, realizing I actually had it much better in my Father's house. I actually had peace and joy when I walked with the Father. But here I am now, trying to do things my own way, and I thought I'd be happier, but I'm not. And if that's you, why don't you come to the front right now? We'd be honored to pray with you. Let's just all pray this prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, who died on the cross for my sins, who willingly gave up his life so that I can be forgiven. God, I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me clean. Enter my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. The Bible says, in the second watch of the day when Jesus was hanging on the cross, for 3 agonizing hours, the earth grew dark. There was darkness that covered the earth. So I don't mind waiting 3 more minutes just for your soul tonight. If you haven't got right with God and you know you need to be here in this front right now, do what these brave men have done. Do what many of us have done in this room, in our own time in our lives where we realize actually I'm not right with God. And if I die tonight, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. Don't live with a question mark. Don't leave tonight with a question mark. Leave with the full assurance that you know God has saved you tonight. Can I ask you one more time? Are you saved? And if you die tonight, are you going to heaven? If you're unsure, well, let's just turn to the person next to us and ask, do you know where you're going tonight? And if not, I'll come to the front with you. Let's just do that now. Let's just take a few minutes. We'll celebrate with you. You're amongst family, I promise. Is there anyone else that you know you need to get right with God? Beautiful. So I guess everyone's all good. Let's just stretch out our hands to our brothers here at the front. And Gina and Arta and who else was it? Phil, if you can come up to the platform with the microphone up there. Father, let's just stretch out our hands, family, to these brothers. God, we thank you for these amazing men. From this day forward, God, we thank you that they've received the seed of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, that they are saved. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we pray for this seed to fall on good soil, that we rebuke the voice of the enemy that will try and take away this seed. We thank you, Jesus, that this soil, as they get closer to you with you, Heavenly Father, in their lifetime shall produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. We prophesy this in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord. Use them for your glory. Protect them, Holy Spirit. Give them a hedge of protection like you gave Job, where they cannot be touched by the enemy, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, the Bible says, in Jesus' mighty name. But help them understand as well, Father, that the challenges that you allow to come into their life will grow them and shape them to become more like your Son, Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au, and don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.